B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
30.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So the Celtics will inbound. Down three with 2.5 to go. No timeouts. Marcus Smart throws the touchdown pass into the front court. Tatum's got it. He got hit and knocked down. They don't call anything. He launches the three. It's no good. And the game is over. Miami has won game one.
Wow.
I think obviously switching has something to do with it, but we need to handle it better. There's no question about it. Not only was there probably too much pounding of the ball, it was also not as much space the way that they were guarding. So we need to do a better job of that. We'll go back and look at different ways that we can attack better at the end of the game.
And in five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge, you know him. He's the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
I'll tell you what, I watched that game last night. I watched it.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's progress.
Even the overtime, I was like, yeah, this is extra time. I'm not getting paid. But I still I still did it, you know? I did what I had to do. So I'm coming in here hot, you know?
Okay.
All right.
Well, so what are you hot about?
Do you have a question?
The mic and drill. That's my suggestion for you guys. I mean, you got a few baskets, get them out there doing the mic and drill.
Okay.
I mean, they got to work on their layups and in their awareness under the basket. That's all I'm saying to you, Danny Ainge.
Yeah, be nice to mix in a lay-in every now and then.
Yep, yep. And then I got another word for you, cones. Use them.
Go ahead, Rich.
That's it.
Go ahead, Rich. I didn't know if there was some
me and Danny,
banter was going to continue. But,
I thought there was
going
to be a question somewhere. Me and Danny talked about evaluating talent and practicing.
I see. It's that, scout life.
Danny,
everyone knows that.
Danny and I talk about fundamentals. we're talking doctorate degree stuff. While you guys are at, you jabronis are just talking about Walker sucks. Hey,
I see.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
All right. So, Danny, what's going on with Kemba Walker? This is obviously not like him, and it's been a little bit of a pattern over these last few games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Kemba hasn't played well. He is the first one to admit that. I think the defense and the opponents that we're playing have something to do with it. And I think that when they make it really hard on guys, I mean, I've experienced this myself. I've seen, you know, players much better than myself experience it. They make it really hard on you. And then when you do get that open one, it's more difficult. And, you know, he's got to figure it out. And I'm confident that he will.
Is he hurt at all?
No, I think he's, I mean, I thought he looked good last night. I thought he's moving well. And I think he's feeling well. Yeah, I think he's doing okay. I think, listen, they have big guards. Dragic is 6'4". He's strong. He's tough. Like, he's got more length than the guys in Toronto. But, you know, we didn't see the box in one like Toronto threw at him, but they threw blitzes at him a lot. And so every time he'd come off a pick and roll, they're blitzing, they're switching, they're shrinking the floor. Our spacing needs to get a little bit better also to try to help him. A couple times he drove in, you know, trying to attack off the guys that were slower than him, and there was, you know, multiple hands stripping the ball. So, I think that we'll figure that out. I'm not as worried about that part of it. You know, this is game one of a long series, so we got to figure it out.
Now, the fourth quarter, Danny, for the last couple of games, even game seven with the Raptors, which was an amazing series, but, you know, that wasn't the best fourth quarter offensively for the Celtics in Game 7. And last night, you know, there were, you know, the beginning of the game started with the characteristic ball movement that you saw, the thing that's made the Celtics so dangerous on offense all season long. And then it seemed like they settled for a bunch of ISO plays at the end when they truly could have used that look that they had at the beginning of the game itself. So why did that happen? Was that, do you think that was something that was done on purpose, or was it just a brain fart on the member on the team members, or was it drawn up that way?
No, it wasn't drawn up that way. At the same time, I think that we are trying to exploit matchups, but I think that nobody wants to do it as much as we did it. I think that the game it looked like we fatigued. It looked like we were trying to use clock when we had the 14-point lead. We put it in slow down motion. That's always just hard to change momentum. The team that's down 14 is trying to speed the game up, and the team that's up 14 is trying to slow the game down. And it's always a danger. I've seen it throughout this playoffs and playoffs of the past. It's a danger of when to slow the game down and knowing when to do it and when not to, when to keep the gas on the pedal and foot on the gas and just keep going to the hole and trying to get fouled. And Miami did a much better job. They got us into the penalty with 7.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and I knew we were in trouble at that point. And they were much more the aggressors. And it's dangerous when you have good offensive players like Kemba and Jason to just try to get a matchup and have them exploit that matchup. A lot of teams do that. And, you know, Miami did a better job of maintaining pace than we did.
Do you think there's a danger, Danny, when you have a young player like Jason Tatum or an inexperienced deep playoff player like Kemba Walker, who hasn't been this far in the playoffs before, to isolate in a big game like this and try and do it all yourself, and that is one of the reasons why the ball might have stopped moving a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, I just think that we have good enough players otherwise. I mean, Jason didn't really get a touch other than the tip in late. Like, he wasn't involved in the game at all. Our bigs didn't do anything or get any opportunities with the defensive that they had switching. We weren't trying to exploit matchups. But, you know, like, I think those are things we figure out. You figure out as you watch film after a tough loss like this. You watch film. You definitely have the attention of all the players. And your backs are to the wall, and you've got to figure it out. And you got to be able to exploit some of the defensive schemes that they're throwing at us, because there are guys open. And we do have other guys that can contribute.
By the way, John Wall, congratulations. You hit the nail on the head. Talking to Danny Ainge. Danny, the team could use Gordon Hayward. Any update on his status right now?
You know, I know Gordon is getting better, but I honestly don't know when he's going to make the determination, you know, along with our medical staff, of when he's going to get back out on the court. I just don't know. It's a day-to-day thing, and we're hopeful that it's soon.
When you're watching the games, what does he bring that you're missing, or what do you see that his presence would improve?
Well, what I love about Gordon is, you know, first of all, he can lead a group, some guys off the bench. He can be more of a focal point of, so we don't need to get the ball in Jason and Kemba's hands as much. I thought Brad Wanamaker did play really well off the bench. The last handful of games, he's been playing well and bringing us a lot. But Gordon can also play off the ball. Teams give him a lot more attention off the ball. They know he's a good shooter. And, you know, so he does both. He spaces the floor for our great players. He can create and run offense. He is our most efficient offensive player. And when he's right, he's a really, really good player.
So, Danny, we asked you about this last week, but circumstances have changed. Now the Celtics are in the Eastern Conference Finals, and, you know, this is a matchup that they can win. Have you spoken to Gordon Hayward as to whether he's reconsidered, leaving the bubble when his wife ends up delivering their baby?
I have spoken to him, but not recently. And that's a decision that Gordon is going to have to make himself. The team certainly is not pressuring him not to. And so I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, where he's at and how he feels, I think.
Would you go, Danny, if you were him?
I'm not going to answer that.
Come on, boy.
It's a different era. I mean, like, listen, I grew up in a different era.
So you would,
you know, my wife absolutely would not even allow me to come back. She doesn't need me. She goes, what are you going to do?
You know, just hand out cigars.
I got all the support I need here. You stay, go win the game.
All right.
So what you're saying is that the circumstances might dictate it, and is that from speaking with Gordon? Like it would be different if he wasn't ready to play yet anyway, or if he was somebody who was getting a decent amount of minutes. Would you think the indications you've got from him that might change his opinion?
I don't know. I you'd have to ask Gordon. I really don't know what would make his decision for him. I mean, there's been some discussion about it, sure, but. I don't know what will ultimately make the decision for him.
All right. So this is obviously a series that you want to win. But would the win be extra sweet knowing that it's Pat Riley on the other side?
You know, Pat and I had our little stiff. I think that was, 7 or 8 years ago. But I respect Pat Riley. I have a great admiration for what he's accomplished in his life in the NBA, and he's been a great competitor. I don't hold any grudges against Pat Riley at all.
I could hear you lying from Nantucket. Danny.
I'm telling you, it's the truth. Like, you guys, like, the stuff that, like, that we went through that one time where Pat Riley, you know, told me to mind my own business and that I was a whiner. I mean, you know, like, listen, all that stuff was true. And so I just think that I honestly, that's just what happens. I don't agree with how he went about that, but I don't hold anything against Pat Riley. Pat Riley has done a great job in Miami. He's very good at his job. I want this win for my players and my coaches, our fans. Like, I have no extra motivation to try to beat Pat Riley or any greater satisfaction. This is for Kimba and Jason and Jalen and Marcus, and those are the guys that matter.
Will your hatred for Pat Riley kind of influence how you feel about Hayward coming back?
He's not answering the question.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys are beauties.
In preparation for this interview, I actually went and I rewatched that amazing brawl, Knicks versus Suns back in 93, where who was it who got a lick on Pat Riley? Because Pat Riley got involved. And, like, I mean, was that, I can't tell, it was just a mass of people. Was that you in the middle of all that? What do you remember about that massive fight?
No, I wasn't. I was actually a peacemaker in that fight. I wasn't really one of them that was involved in that fight. That was actually Doc Rivers, I think, and Kevin Johnson.
Battle of the Titans.
Yeah, I think Doc Rivers and Kevin Johnson were going at that. That was the start of that fight.
Actually, you brought up Doc. I'm sure you're aware of what happened to the Clippers last night. And Doc, statistically, has not done well in closing out series. For whatever reason, I mean, he's one of the few coaches, if not the only coach, that has presided over three teams that have blown 3-1 leads. Obviously, that didn't happen while he was here with you in Boston. But how do you explain what's happened to Doc recently?
You know, listen, I just think that for whatever reason, that Clipper team did not play well at all last night. You know, I don't know. You don't know why, but, like, none of their offensive firepower. They got three of the best offensive players in the league in George and Kawhi and Lou Williams. And they just all had bad nights on the same night and shot the ball miserably. I don't really know what goes on behind the scenes there, but they just couldn't score the ball. They had 2 points in the first 6 or 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, and that's tough. I mean, I don't wish that on anybody. That's a tough game last night for the Clippers.
Well, he said afterwards that his team wasn't conditioned. Like, there were players begging, as soon as they get into a rhythm, they were begging to come out of the game so they could sit down. I mean, that's Doc Rivers' words, not mine. There was a report from Mark Spears as well that, you know, that this is something that during the game, star players are saying, I can't do this in a game seven. Who's that on? Like, whose responsibility is that to have the players conditioned and to be able to play through a game seven?
I think it's on the individual players. I know there'd be people that would disagree with me, but I can't imagine that I'm not in shape to play game seven. And I can't imagine ever asking out of a game seven. No great player I ever played with, no role player I ever played with would ask out of a game seven, or unless they just needed a 1 minute blow. But I can't even imagine not being in good enough shape to win a game seven.
Marcus Smart would never ask out.
Jokic was in good enough shape to win game seven.
And he had COVID.
Yeah.
Like, right. So, and he's like a human bag of potatoes. And he was out there and just absolutely killed it last. I love Jokic. I'm a fan of that Denver team. I like Jamal Murray. I think they're scrappy. And I think it exposed a little bit of what that Clippers team is.
Yeah, I know. Denver's a legit team. I mean, listen, there's a reason they're not, by happenstance, playing in that game. I mean, they're good. They're a legit team. And I mean, coming back from 3-1 down twice is unbelievable. I mean, I think that's only happened a dozen times in the history of the NBA, and to do it twice in 1 year is unheard of. That's
all right.
Very
so Danny, what is this team doing in game two? Like you saw, you know, how the matchups went. You saw what they did right. You saw what they did wrong. What do they need to do in game two to hopefully get this series tied?
Well, I just think that, you know, we can't give up transition lanes. You know, I think we gave up 8 transition lanes. So that just kills you. And, you know, but they're good at it. And so it's easier said than done, but we can't give up those. I think we've got to, you know, get more people involved in the offense. I think Jaylen Brown has a lot to offer this group, and, you know, we just forgot about him and didn't really try to do anything to exploit his advantages. So I think that, you know, we've got to continue moving the ball. We got to continue to, you know, not just pound the ball so early. You know, we got to keep the foot on the gas when we have a lead. Like I said, it's easy to do when you're playing from behind. It's harder to do. It's just human nature. It's not just us. It's every team that I watch play basketball. It's a danger. I mean, the Clippers in this series, like we were just talking about, I mean, they had 19, 16, and 14-point leads in these games, and the game slows down, and it's hard to regain the momentum once you lose it. And as we know, we live in an era where there's so many 3-point shots taken that the variance of scoring is so dramatic that 20-point leads don't mean that much. 14-point leads, like, that's nothing in today's game. That's like 6-point leads in my era, just because of the kind of shots that are taken and the way the game's played.
All right. Well, Danny Ainge, best of luck as the game at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You'll be able to hear that right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And, Danny, it's always a pleasure, sir, and I think that you could tell by my questions that I was engaged and also very familiar with what happened last evening.
I'll call Brad right now and talk to him about the mic and drill and the cone. Try to get some cones on the practice court today.
Yeah, and if you're talking about transition baskets, let's just go 3-man weave for the people, you know? Maybe get back to basics.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, 3-man weave. Good.
Thank you, Danny Ainge.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
See you, Danny.
If you want to make the varsity team, that's how they try you out.
The mic and drill.
Don't 3-man weave.
Oh, 3-man weave.
Right. Come on. Yeah. Let's get on it.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, for Toucher Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pump, pump! 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Well, if you got nothing to do on Saturdays, you might be excited to know that the Big Ten is going to vote to, surprise, surprise, to play football. According to the Milwaukee Sentinel.
There was a hot mic, I think, that spilled the beans yesterday, right? There was one of the guys, one of the athletic directors for the school, was doing a press conference, and he didn't realize his microphone was on. He goes, yeah, we're going to be announcing that we're coming
back. I have that here if you want to hear it. I have not screened this sound, but I assume there are no swears in it. Who is it
saying it, John? Do you know? Does it say that on the clip?
The Nebraska president, whose name I do not know. But let's listen in here.
Everything that's going on here. We're getting ready to announce the Husker Big Ten football tonight.
Oh, really? I heard that was happening. I didn't. I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that'll get off your plate.
Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to play football. I knew they would the entire time.
Yeah.
And now there's testing. There's no reason they shouldn't play football.
And now the Pac-12
is going to play football.
USC athletes are petitioning the president of the school. Like, hey, look, see what's happening over there. Let's make sure we can play. I think the rules are a little bit different for the Pac-12, though, because of all the fires everywhere.
And everything
it's unhealthy to play.
By the way, you can tell that there's fire today.
Yeah, it's hazy outside. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's something I was saying yesterday. I mean, there was there was a haze in the sky last night, and there's a shot from over America, and it's got which ones are clouds, and then what is actually smoke coming from out west. And over Massachusetts yesterday, a lot of that wasn't clouds. That was smoke from those fires. I mean, that's insane. And you've seen the apocalyptic photos. It looks like a Blade Runner movie on the West Coast right now with the orange sky. And as I was saying, I've got a friend of mine who lives in Seattle, and they've been instructed to not leave their houses. And then she's got a dog, and she's like, well, I got to walk my dog. And they said, well, if you have to walk your dog, you need to make it as few walks as possible, get in, get out. And then they have to put these towels and stuff under their windows and their doors to make sure that the air doesn't seep in.
Yeah, well, no one leave their houses. We can all live our lives like that. But no, I know it's got to be terrible.
Yeah, it's insane. And that the Seattle game was canceled yesterday as well. Yes. So hang on, Patriots are in Seattle this weekend, right?
They are, yes. Sunday night.
I wonder if that's in danger.
Well, that's a question that they've been asking over on the sports television channels. So we'll see. I would imagine they're going to play, but I guess. Well, listen, just ignore science. We're all ignoring it. There's no thing. But so the Big Ten is going to play. The Pac-10 will eventually play. There's no way they're going to sit there while everyone else is successfully playing. By the way, did you see that Kansas State game? I think they just let everyone in.
Yeah.
And so I got news for you, too. If you think the Big Ten is going to play with no fans, I got news for you. They're having fans. They're not going to sell the places out. They're not going to be 100,000 people at Michigan Stadium. But there will be fans.
Like in Kansas City. You know, you'll have 16,000, whatever it is.
Yes. If you think the Big Ten's going to sit there and watch the ACC and SEC play this weekend with fans and not have fans, you're crazy. They're going to have them. And that's what's going to happen. This is all going... The Big Ten, they made the announcement way too early. They just made the announcement when they didn't have to make it. Well, you thought the SEC and ACC were going to play, and then the presidents and the school and all the money that they're losing?
Well, the presidents voted. I understand that, but the presidents voted not to do it, and it was the players and the parents
No, I know. The presidents voted not to do it, but they did it way too early. They did it before. Why would you do that? Like, why wouldn't you wait to see what happens? I mean, things are different now than they were then in terms of testing. I mean, and you really thought that they were going to watch two major conferences play and make all that money and not do it?
Well, they had a partner in the Pac-12. That's the other part of it. I mean, I know, but the Power Five, three said yes and two said no.
Looking back, Do you think they made the decision not to play?
No, and I think you brought up a very good point, is that you weren't, at the time they voted against it, which was in August, right? It was about a month ago. They weren't sure about testing, and they weren't sure how safe they could keep these kids.
And they didn't know if they were going to have kids back, and they didn't know anything. So they should have just stayed and not done anything. They should have just waited and seen what the situation was going to be like.
At the time,
it's eight games in 8 weeks is what we're hearing.
Yes, yeah. They're going to play eight games in 8 weeks. And they're going to play, and they're going to be fans.
ACC.
And what's interesting, too, is that... Yeah. So they said that the rapid testing changed their opinion of everything. I don't think the SEC has this rapid testing. So the SEC is doing their thing. I mean, if I'm the SEC, I'm going, all right, well, how about some over here?
I don't think the SEC cares all that much, right?
No, you could go.
That's just me.
And by the way, LSU just was like, hey, we're all getting COVID.
I know. And Ogeron said most of my teams are like, well, we all got it anyway,
so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, we're good.
Which,
for them.
By the way, is essentially the state motto, I think, down there.
Yeah, I mean, LSU's not, he's like, yeah, we just all got it. I made sure all the guys got it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get it in the preseason, no, so we don't get it during the season.
I was reading South Carolina. I understand the student body is large, but South Carolina had 5,000 tests positive. Tennessee had, what, 1,500 kids test positive for it?
And Tennessee's still playing.
I mean, and that's the thing. Both are SEC schools, so in the end, I don't think it matters, rapid testing or not. I think they still would have
gotten
it.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. Yep.
Well, I mean... If I'm Tennessee and I'm looking at Tennessee, I'm like, well, okay, what happened? What's the fallout? There's been no fallout.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, I mean.
There's no fallout, though.
Sick people.
But there's no fallout.
For football, there's no fallout.
For the student body, there hasn't been any fallout.
The only fallout could be, and I remember this was a justification for the Big Ten not playing. One of the physicians at one of the Big Ten schools said, of those people that have gotten COVID, 30 to 35% of them have myocarditis, or the inflammation of the heart that Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox had. That's the fallout.
No, I understand.
But
really, what's happened to the University of Tennessee, if you look at it? I mean, nothing. There's been no ramifications of it.
No, there hasn't.
In terms of,
that's correct.
You know, money or in terms of anything.
Money still comes in. The TV money still comes in. They still play football, although it won't be filled. I mean, Tennessee has
no.
110,000.
Even Tennessee's not going to fill that place. No, you can't have
I understand, but what I'm saying is they're going to put fans in there.
Whether
15,000, 20,000 of the 100,000 seats they have at that stadium, right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be like Kansas State that was just like, who cares?
Hey, come on in.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas State, I think that stadium was full. By the way, did you see what Volan said about the, that like in Miami, tickets are going for 3 times face value for the Dolphin game? Like that people like desperately want to go to that Dolphin game. Hmm. So, I mean, these guys, they want to go.
Well, that was a prediction that we made, that if there was a limited amount of tickets, whether people would jack up the price.
Yeah.
You know, because
apparently they're going like hot takes. They're going like hot takes out of Wog's mouth. No, but they're going crazy. People want to go. And that's the situation. I mean, people will say, like, okay, there's these cases in Tennessee, and you can look at it like that's bad, and that there's ramifications, that, you know, this is bad. But if you look at it, the University of Tennessee is not, I'm not turning on the news and seeing the University of Tennessee there. I mean, it's just.
Well, if you're testing these kids every day with these rapid testing, then it seems like that is kind of the way that everyone wanted this to be in the first place.
Well, football you can control. I mean, football, if they have the rapid testing, I mean, they can play if they want them to play.
That's the thing. Boston College, and we were talking about all the restrictions Massachusetts has. Boston College is at Duke this weekend. I think they play a home game against Texas State next weekend. I mean, they're starting on time. They're playing 11 games, and away we go.
Yep. Yep. But then again, in Tennessee, they have 5,000 kids test positive. Boston College has 20 kids test positive.
It's a little different.
It's the first news story on the news.
Yeah.
So, but...
I mean, I think one deserves to be a news story. It's just not because people don't care down there.
That's what I'm saying, is that in Boston, everyone's been very good. That's my point, is everyone's been very good. Everyone's wearing masks. They've got the numbers flattened. And they ain't giving us nothing. Start school. Hybrid, baby. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack?
Well, we got some more details on the postseason for Major League Baseball and the greatest action films of all time.
Oh, boy. I'm going to fail at this thing. Not a big action film guy, but You guys can make fun of me and talk about how I didn't see these movies and make me less of a man. I'm preparing myself mentally for that. Hear that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And just as we were talking about it, the Big Ten has announced football resume on October 24th. John Wall, Captain Moneybags.
Yes, sir. The stack is
like the Big Ten. Cashing in.
Stack is brought to us by Window Nation. Buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. You can check them out at windownation.com.
All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, it was quite the event when Tom Brady arrived in Tampa Bay and accidentally walked into the wrong house.
Tom.
We all remember that story where a gentleman was just absolutely aghast. Tom! Well, when he ended up finding a place to finally settle down, it was Derek Jeter's old Tampa mansion. And it looks like Jeter said, you got to move out because I'm selling this sumbitch. $29 million he's selling it for after renting it to Tom Brady.
What is it, the entire city?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's just absurd how much $29 million can get you in Tampa.
I mean, I would think in all reality that you could buy Ybor City for $20 million.
You might be able to, but all I know is that locals call the mansion St. Jetersburg. It's a 6-foot-tall wall that circles the home. They call it the Great Wall of Jeter. He's lived there since 2017, so only there for a couple of years. As a matter of fact, when he moved down there to be CEO of the Miami Marlins, which he's done an excellent job with. And then you've got Tom Brady now, who I guess, how many months is that? 4 months tops?
Yeah.
That he lived in there before Jeter said, get the hell out of my house? Seems a little bit.
I think
nice
Tom can afford to move somewhere else. I don't think it's
not
big
the
deal.
Afford. Sometimes just moving's a pain in the ass. He did it once, and now he's got to get up and do it again.
He's got to pay. You got to pay movers. They got to come in and take everything away.
No.
It's not like he's lifting boxes.
No, Rich is right. I mean, and that's a lot of rooms there too. By the way, the world's biggest hot tub. Hey. I wonder what kind of bevy of busty beauties were sitting in that thing. Yachi, machi.
Hey,
don't mind if
guacamole.
I do.
Yep. So it looks like he is moving out. Who knows where he's going to move to. But in other news, South Park is going to return with their very first ever hour-long pandemic special episode. It's going to be on September 30th. At 8 p.m., obviously it's usually 30 minutes, but this is the first time that they are going to go a full hour, and it's all about COVID-19. It says Randy comes to terms with his role in the COVID-19 outbreaks as the ongoing pandemic presents continued challenges to the citizens of South Park. The kids happily head back to school, but nothing resembles the normal that they once knew. Not their teachers, not their homeroom, not even Eric Cartman. So there you go. There's
well,
a teaser for that.
You got me at Randy. As long as Randy's involved, I love it.
Is Randy the best character on
yes.
South Park?
Yep.
I have to agree.
It's evolved into Randy is the star of the show. Unless they bring in Stan's or Kyle's cousin. And then Kyle's cousin steals the day.
I've been watching a lot of Simpsons during the quarantine because it's something that I can watch. And I'm introducing my kids to it. And after watching it, I've realized that for years how I've been so wrong about the best Simpsons character. It's Mr. Burns. Like, every episode with Mr. Burns is an absolute home run. Like, he's the best character. I mean, outside of Homer. Homer, obviously. I'm talking outside of the regular family. But I used to go Ralph Wiggum. I used to go Barney every once in a while. Mr. Burns is hands down the best character on that show.
See, Barney is a bit of a... Because they can screwball you and have Barney be, like, a sad character, which I don't care for.
No,
like,
no.
When they make
the ones...
Barney sad, it's when it's shame.
Like when he did that movie for the film festival, and it was like he made this like expose about how he was this sad drunk, and he was about to win, and then somebody submitted Man Gets Hit in Balls. They're like, ah! and that ends up being the hole. So yeah, Mr. Burns is the best. And if you just go through, it's easy. You can scroll through, and anyone that's got Mr. Burns in the main picture, you watch it, and it's guaranteed to be a good one. Men's Health just came out with
a list that is
going to infuriate Fred Tutcher.
I love Men's Health because I love abs.
Well, sometimes you got to take your shirt off and you got to flex a little bit on the
every
front cover
of Men's Health is just like, hey, I really love abs. I'm going to buy this. It's right
you
there.
Your at fireplace, the... Fred. It's not the abs. Your fireplace. Come on.
It's right there. It's right there in front of me when I go to the pick up my medicines for all my ailments. And then right there is just a sweet, sweet six pack.
So they came up with a list of the 27 greatest action films of all time, and I'll name this 27 films that Fred Tutcher has never seen.
Yeah, we can just you guys can guess among yourselves, and I'll tell you if I saw it.
All right, I will give you the first one. First of all, I went down to 27 just to start at the bottom, and at number 27, it's Raiders of the Lost Ark. So this is already a trash list. If you're putting Raiders at number 27, dude, that's like top five. No question. Why the hell? Okay, so let's get ready. Let's lean back. John Wallach, would you like to guess any of the top 10? Now, just in fairness, there's about three in the top 10 that are like kung fu movies that you might not be familiar with.
Okay.
They're being cute.
They're like
not being cute. They're legitimate great movies, but you just might not have seen them. They're with like but guys you've never heard of.
Is Old Boy considered an action film?
Old Boy is on this list. Old Boy comes in at number 24, which
there you
go. There's a scene in Old Boy where he's at the end of a hallway and there's about 30 dudes at another end of a hallway and all he has is like this pipe. And he just takes out all of them, and it's a single-cut sideways shot. It's like playing Super Mario Brothers. It's just from the side the entire time. And the camera never cuts, and it's 4 minutes of carnage. One of the best action scenes ever filmed. Number 24. Good job, Fred.
All right. That's good. There are four quick movies that I thought of immediately. One is Terminator.
Terminator 2 is on this list.
Not saw either.
Terminator 2 is excellent. Like, that's a good one. And believe it or not, it still holds up. Number 15 on the list.
Okay, and one we all know Fred has not seen, Predator.
Predator not on the list, which sucks.
Yes. It does a trash list.
Of course not. It's not. It's impossible to get through the first 5 minutes of that film.
The first 5 minutes are hysterical.
Yes, for all the wrong reasons.
The over-the-top machismo, it's like, Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then the hand, they just flex for about like 10 straight minutes.
All it is establishing that they have big muscles.
Oh, and that they're manly.
What's the problem?
I ain't got time to bleed.
They got
muscles, they got abs, they're ready to kick ass. What's the problem?
Well, I mean, I could just go to the gym and just put my peepers on some guys doing squats.
But they may not be ready to kick ass. I'll scroll through some of this
for time's sake. 27 is Raiders, and I'm just going to go backwards from 26 down. Dark Knight, Inside Man, Old Boy, Casino Royale. That's probably my favorite Bond movie.
Die Hard
at 22. Okay, if you got Die Hard at 22, you better come strong with the next ones. Matrix at 21. Okay.
Never saw it.
It's good. Matrix is a good movie. Don't watch the other two. The first one's really good, and it just gets confusing. Number 20, Heat. Heat is not
a terrible
movie.
Awful.
It's
not
really long. I've seen Heat.
Awful movie.
Heat has one of the funniest, most miscast scenes of all time, and I've said it before. It's when Al Pacino goes running into a room and he's angry, and Henry Rollins, who's a fairly large guy, comes running up to him, and Al Pacino picks him up and throws him against a wall, which just, I don't think physics would allow that, much less any sort of hint of reality of what's going on there.
Joe Pesci was a tough guy in several films, and I believed it.
He was very tough. Number 19, Seven Samurai. Nope. All right, movie nerd. Number 18, The French Connection. Still a good movie. You'd actually really like it. Number 17, Bullet. Another classic that's got one of the best car chases ever.
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen. It's a good movie. Number 16, Men in Black?
Come on.
Are you out of your mind? You put Men in Black ahead of Raiders of the Lost Ark?
That movie sucked.
It was fine. It was fine. It's totally set on a set. I watched it, and it's like all like some awful set. Number 15, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. 14, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Nope.
13, Mad Max, Fury Road.
Nope.
Aliens at number 12. I would have put that higher on this list. I think it's one of the best action movies ever made. At number 11, The Killer. It's a John Woo movie that rules. That's a great one. Number 10, House of Flying Daggers. This is what I'm talking about. Number 9, IP Man. Number 8, Enter the Dragon. Great film.
Never saw it.
It's ranked about right. Number 7, John Wick. Ranked about right.
Never saw it.
The whole John Wick trilogy is great. And number 6, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Never saw
That's
it.
A great movie. Yeah, but it's still not even the best of the Mission Impossible series, and it's way too high. I would put Ghost Protocol in there.
I'd put the third one ahead of that one. That's the one Philip Seymour Hoffman was really good. Yeah.
Who was not a good bad guy. Number five, The Bourne Ultimatum? Huh? The Bourne movies are fine, but once again, Indiana Jones was 27. At number four, Kill Bill Volume 1. I agree. That's ranked about appropriately. That's a great movie.
Yes.
Number three, Ong Bak, which is a very good film. That's another karate one. Now it gets weird. Oh, number two, The Raid 2 Redemption.
What?
Whatever
what the
about
hell
the
even
Raid
is
two.
That?
There's a. It's another one of these, like, it's amazing. Don't see The Raid 2. See The Raid. The original The Raid. The Raid is a movie about how there's a guy who has to work his way up this building, this old abandoned building, to get to the... It's almost like a video game. The main bad guy's on the top floor, and the entire way up, it's just dudes trying to kill him. And it is one of the best karate, kung fu, ass-kicking movies you've ever watched. Trust me, it's worth it. There might be 3 minutes of exposition before the ass-kicking starts. The Raid is excellent, but they put The Raid to the sequel. And at number one, First Blood. First Blood was fairly depressing. If you're going to go pure action, go with Rambo. Go with the real Rambo. And by the way, I finally watched the new one. It sucks.
Oh, you saw it?
I did. It's not, and it sucks, but it's funny. I mean, it's just like, it's one of those ones again. They made a Saw movie. It's like they basically turned him into Jigsaw. He just like tortures dudes throughout the entire thing. It's like, and he doesn't even, there's not like a lot of like action.
Yeah, you don't have to move. Yeah, if you're torturing a guy, you don't really have to move.
Yeah, yeah. So they missed out on that. On this list, and I mean, two glaring omissions. You got to put a Fast and the Furious film on there. They've gotten so good that they deserve a little bit of recognition.
What about the second Kill Bill?
Not as good as the first.
But it should be on the list.
No, not in the top 27. Kill Bill 2 is fine. Kill Bill 1 is a classic. Like, there's a huge gap in the quality between 1 and 2. Yeah. And my personal one I would have put in the top 3 because I love this movie is Desperado. Desperado, to me, is that might actually be my favorite action movie. I could watch that over and over again. Some of the best Robert Rodriguez-directed action scenes I've ever seen. And that was when Salma Hayek was throwing absolute heat at the time. It doesn't get that to me, it doesn't get better action-wise than Desperado. So there you go, Men's Health, coming through with a controversial list.
Why is it 27? Is it for how many abs that I got to wash my clothes on?
I don't know. Somebody said Mad Max Fury Road being ranked and Road Warrior not is what's wrong with America. I'm sorry. I liked Fury Road. I think the newest one's the best of all of them.
Road Warrior is really boring. I used to rent that when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but it's not like Fury Road is almost perfect. Like, it's just it's so cutting through the BS. Here's an action movie with a guy playing guitar that shoots flames out of the front of it on a Mack truck. That doesn't really get cooler than that.
All right, well, there you go. Enjoy a movie tonight, because tomorrow you're gonna be able to hear the Celtics right here on this very radio station. But you know, my kind of action is just peeping on some sweet, sweet butts. And that's what this song is all about. All right, everyone, enjoy the day. Enjoy the haze. And go about your business. And if you're in Newton, have fun teaching your kids from home.
Hey, and Mike behind the mic, Callahan. Let's get on it, man. We could use ourselves a Celtics song.
Hot Top Lips.
Yeah. Indeed. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.